Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. I'm happy to announce that in this edition of the podcast, I have a huge LQ update for you. As has been announced previously, the entire LQ site has been updated to a new code base. Basically, pretty much every section of the site has been rewritten, and pretty much from the ground up for all of them. That would include the forums, the HCLs have been redone, the Linux answers has been redone, reviews has been redone, and we've also added some completely new sections, including a original content article section, which isn't very apparent actually now. Most of the links are hidden, although you can get to it if you know where to go. And that's because we're working out just a couple last bugs, and the site is now going to have a content editor. Ray, the moderator, who's Xavier P., is actually going to be doing some editing and some posting of the articles. So we're working with him and working with the coding, and that should actually be officially released by tomorrow, hopefully, if we can get all the kinks out. Another new feature is that every LQ member, all over 200,000 of them, do have their own blog now, so you can expect some probably interesting original content from that angle also. The upgrade went pretty smooth on Saturday, pretty much as we expected it to go. We did run into maybe one unexpected hiccup, but it wasn't too bad, and things are pretty much stable now. We are still running into the occasional bug, but it's pretty good. There is an integrated bug tracker now, so if you do run across a bug, we would appreciate if you would just click on the right-hand nav. There's a link that says Report LQ Bug, and it'll just ask you a couple questions about the bug. The more bug reports that we get, the better we can make the site, so we do appreciate any and all bug reports. Good bug reports, we really appreciate. The one problem I've probably seen the most since the upgrade, and something that you can kind of watch out for, is that in many browsers, you're going to have to remove all the LinuxQuestions.org cookies that you may have, or else you'll notice yourself occasionally getting logged out. This is unfortunate. We didn't fully anticipate this, although I did kind of half expect it. Some people are having problems. If you click on the home page, which is also redesigned, you'll notice it's the second article down now, I think. It gives you some pointers about what to do if removing them isn't working. And I know a lot of times people miss them. If you sort alphabetically and then go to the L's for LinuxQuestions.org and then the W's for www.linuxquestions.org, that's probably the easiest way to get rid of all of them. But there are a couple other tips and pointers in that post. So if you are having a problem, you might want to check that out. So far, the feedback has been very good on the site. It's been mostly positive, and we are paying attention to both the positive and negative feedback. So if you do have any feedback whatsoever, there's multiple threads going where you can post that, and we definitely do want to hear from you. If you don't want to post it in the thread, feel free to email me, or if you want, send an audio comment, and I'll play it on the next podcast. One other thing that has changed a little bit is the way the contributing member system works. It was also upgraded. Everything feature-wise has pretty much stayed the same. We didn't take any features away, and we really didn't add any features either. The one thing that's quite a bit different is the way that it's automated now. Previously, you had to pay by credit card for everything to be automated. Now, regardless of how you pay, be it PayPal or whatever, everything will be automated, and you don't have to subscribe recurring now. You can subscribe for whatever you want, and your account will be automatically deactivated if you choose not to renew, and then you could renew it any time after that. The old system was kind of a very manual, laborious process, and I'm glad to get that upgraded and out of the way. Another great thing about this upgrade that might not be immediately apparent is that this new framework really gives us a much better opportunity moving forward to add new features and completely new sections to the site, really. And we do already have a bunch of new features on the list to add for kind of a, if you consider this a LQ3, 3.1 is not as far off as you might think, considering how long 2 lasted. We do have some great features, and this, like I said, is just a great framework for us to kind of add not only new features, but entire new sections. On that note, if you have an idea of what we should be adding, if there's a section you'd like to see, or even a completely new site that you'd like to see added to kind of the LQ network, we want to hear about it. As you know, we already have the LQ Wiki, the LQ Radio, the social bookmarking site, and LQ ISO, but we're always open to new ideas, and do want to serve anything that you think we should be serving. So let us know if you think there's something we should be doing but aren't. There's one person I kind of want to single out and say thank you to, and that's David Ross, who was just absolutely instrumental in this upgrade. From an upgrade standpoint itself, he was there the whole time helping, but from a coding standpoint, as I mentioned in the post, the upgrade would not have had the features that it has or went as smooth as it had had it not been for David Ross. So he's been absolutely fantastic, and a big thanks goes to him on this. That's about all talk about the upgrade for now. I do recommend you check out the site, and like I said, let us know. And as the next couple podcasts go, I'll probably be dropping a note here or there, maybe highlight a new feature once a podcast or something, just to underscore how big of a change it really was. Next LQ story. We are once again a proud sponsor of Scale. This time it's Scale 4X, and that's the 4th annual Southern California Linux Expo. I unfortunately wasn't able to make Scale 3X, which, like I said, we were also a sponsor of, but I do actually hope to make it this time, and I'm definitely planning on going.
Southern California Linux Expo is coming.
Here's a promo for the expo.
It will be February 11th and 12th, 2006, at the Westin Los Angeles Airport. Scale 4X will build on Scale 3X. We've moved to a new location, which has allowed us to expand the expo. We'll have more speaker tracks and more tutorials designed to show users of all skill levels what open source can do. And Scale 4X will offer more booth space for those interested in showing how they've made open source work for them. If you're interested in presenting on a topic, the Scale 4X call for papers is open through November 20th, 2005. For those staying over, the Westin is offering special hotel room rates for the expo. Whatever your interest in open source, Scale 4X has something for you.
So it does sound fantastic, and I look forward to going. If you'll be there, drop me a line and let me know. Thanks. A quick note before I go on to the news. As you may have noticed, kind of in the last week or so, there hasn't been a podcast, and I really haven't even posted to my blog, just because I've been extremely busy with the upgrade. Things have settled down, as I mentioned earlier now, and you can expect both my blog and this podcast to return kind of to a normal schedule as they've been now. So this podcast, I am unfortunately only going to do one story, truly all I had time to research, but we're going to do a next podcast hopefully over the weekend, just in a couple days, and I will get some more news stories in that one for you. The news story that I do have for you is unpatched IE flaw is worse than expected. So it looks like a security hole that was reported many, many months ago, but considered minor by Microsoft and therefore never corrected, turns out to be a remote arbitrary code execution flaw, which is pretty much the worst kind of flaw that you can have. So my question is, why do IE holes, and many holes in Microsoft products to be honest, go uncorrected for this long? This certainly isn't the first time something like this has happened, and if I had to guess, it's probably not the last. They say they value security, so I don't know why things like this just continue to keep happening. And one thing that I found extremely scary is that a full one-third of the visitors to the SAN site are vulnerable to this problem. For those of you unfamiliar with SANs, it's a security organization, and the SANs is Sysadmin Audit Network Security, and it's an institute, is obviously a very security-minded and security-focused site. So anyone that's even heard of SANs is more security-conscious than the average user. So if you're actually going to the SAN site, you're probably 10 times more security conscious than the average user. So if a third of the people going to that site are vulnerable, that's an indicator that a huge amount of people are in the wild vulnerable to this problem. So it'll be interesting to see the fallout from this. And I just hope one of these days that there kind of is a realization at Microsoft that security can't be a PR thing. It has to be a technical and engineering thing. It'll be interesting also to see how IE7 affects these holes and if they're as consistent with IE7 as they have been in the past. In kind of a related story on this, Firefox 1.5 was released just about a day after this announcement, and they got over 2 million downloads in the first 24 hours, which is just absolutely amazing. The first immediate thing I noticed, aside from just a little bit of polish, like you can drag tabs around, which I really like, is that the memory footprint, at least for me on my machines, is considerably lower. I know I'll have Firefox going sometimes for literally weeks at a time, and it would just get into the 4, and I think a couple times even the 500 meg range, which is just huge for a browser. 1.5 has not done that for me yet. It's been substantially smaller and substantially faster. So kudos to the entire Mozilla Foundation and specifically the Firefox team. 1.5 looks good, and I look forward to see what they're going to do next, but they're doing an absolutely fantastic job. That is all I have for now, but thanks for listening.